Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study this week of John chapter 1. And this testimony of John the Apostle, this testimony concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we read there this grand truth that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is answering for us what Jesus cared so much about when he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" John is answering that. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. Before everything that was made, he was there. All things were made through him. And Jesus Christ was face to face with God, and Jesus Christ was God. This is the testimony. Jesus Christ is true and eternal God. And we've looked at this week on Abounding Grace, to say anything different regarding the person and the work of Jesus Christ is utter blasphemy. Now, I left off yesterday was having us think about the implications of this confession, of what we believe about Jesus. What bearing does this have on us? And I said yesterday that often I go into the bookstore and I look at the Christian books and I can't help but lament that people today are searching for life. And what they're finding is nothing but spiritual junk food. They're searching and they're not finding. They're all obsessed with, as we've looked at on Abounding Grace, the principles and the techniques and the applications for Christianity. Everyone seems to have an antidote for this and principles for this and 10 steps for this. How to obtain what? Life. Do you ever get the sense that everyone is on this search and this quest to find spiritual life? Experiencing God, finding God, 40 days of this, achieving this, the next prayer of Jabez. We are so fatty, aren't we? And it's just shocking to me that even among so-called Christians that are on this quest for life, that they just go from one fad to another, they don't seem to be finding. Why is that? And to follow up, where do we find God? How do we have his life fill us? I said yesterday, it's interesting that Philip struggled with this. Philip came up to our Lord and said, "Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us." Remember what Jesus said? "Have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip?" Boy, isn't that just speak volumes of the Christianity today? Have people heard and heard about Jesus Christ so much and yet have not known him? Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Philip said, "Jesus, give us unmediated experience of God. Jesus, take us to him. Show us him. We want to see him." And Jesus says, "Have you not known me, Philip?" What Jesus was saying is that he fully reveals the glory of God in the incarnation. He is true God. That it's in the Son that God has spoken personally, that you are shown him, that you have access. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So as we look to Jesus Christ, we behold the glory of God in his face. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The way we have life is in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in knowing him. It's in his face that we see God's wondrous, infinite love and perfect revelation of holiness and purity and possessing life in himself, able to give that freely to all. As he says, all who come to him, he will by no means cast out. All who come to him will be given life. And we meet him as he is revealed in the Word. That's what John is telling us. John says of this Christ in verse 4 of John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Did you hear what John just said, my friend? Jesus has life in himself. In him is the fullness of the divine essence. And notice what it says. He is the light of men. Jesus, having life in himself, is the light of men. He shines in the darkness. He is the one who is full of grace and truth. He breaks the darkness of our hearts. Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. In the Old Testament, we have all these references to this light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Psalm 18:28, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. All of those verses anticipated. Here John says it is Jesus Christ. He is the light who gives life, breaking the darkness of our hearts. How wonderful the Lord is. He sent John the Baptist, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, to announce the light. He says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. God sent John to testify of the light. For what reason? That all might believe, that every single soul might believe in Jesus Christ as the light and life of the world. That was the design, that all the world would hear about this light and believe in him. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, says John. He gives light. How so? How does he give light to every man who's come into the world? You see, not all believe. The question of the Gospel of John is, what are we doing with Jesus Christ? What are we doing with him who is the light? After the announcement in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, then you come to this truth. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In other words, now through Jesus Christ's incarnation, everyone has come into contact with this light. Everyone is confronted with the true light of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But my friends, the sad story of the Bible that it often presents is that men are so gripped in the darkness that they hate the light, because it shines right in their wicked hearts and shows exactly what's going on there. And two things happen when they are confronted with the light. Just as happened with John, as he confronts your life, you either hate that light because he exposes your life for what it is, that all your deeds are corrupt and evil and exposed, or you come to the light. Naked I come to thee for dress, having your life exposed so that you are transformed by his life and light and grace. You see, that's exactly what is said in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jews rejected this light. And then it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. To those who do not receive him, to those who do not believe in his name, you know what that happens, who do not? The Bible says that the darkness has blinded their hearts. But contrary to that, to those who do receive him, to those who do believe in his name, the opposite of that is that you are given the full right to become sons of God, sons of the light. In other words, he gives you a whole new beginning. He gives you a whole new birth, rescued from being in the darkness. In coming to the light, you've come to God incarnate. You've come to the one who fully reveals the glory of God and gives you eternal life. And here is what the Gospel of John is unpacking for us. If you have been given that life, you never obtained that in your own power. None of it you achieved by your own decision-making for Jesus. John 1:13 says this, "To those who were born, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You are not given this life by what family you're raised in, what genetic line you come from, who your father was. None of that matters to God. He's no respecter of persons. You are born again, not of the will of the flesh, nor of your running. Notice what it says, nor of the will of man. Your free will did not do this. In other words, you can't break yourself out of the darkness. But those who receive God revealed in the flesh, manifested in the flesh, those who believe this testimony, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, those who believe that He is the only true light that has come into the world, in whom life is, are those who have been born again by God Himself. He gives that life to you freely by His grace. That is the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what John shows us here in John chapter 1, the eternal Son of God. You see, my friends, how important it is when Jesus asked that question to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" A lot of people were talking about Jesus. A lot of people said, Jesus is just a good moral prophet. And we have a whole bunch of religions today who think Jesus was just a good man, had a lot of good morals. People will follow Jesus' morals. Jesus was after much more than that. Remember Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" What you believe about Jesus Christ is a matter of life and death. What think you about Jesus Christ? Your eternal destiny depends how you answer that. Whether you will go to a place of bliss and of joy, communing and fellowshipping and glorifying God for eternity, or whether you will go to a place of endless torment, where Jesus said the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, a place called hell, depends on what you believe concerning Jesus Christ, whether you've embraced Him in true faith and trusted in Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. My friends, you're a sinner, and you need a Savior. And only Jesus Christ has the ability to do that, because He is true God and true man. He is fully God, able to bear the weight of God's anger against your sin, and true man, meaning that God will accept His propitiation and atonement, because He became one of us. I pray today that those who are still in the darkness would come to the light and have their deeds exposed and be given a new birth by His grace, and that all those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that believing, that you would know without any doubt that you have life in His name, and that you, my friends, would continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Again, that web address is www.lindenurc.com. And the phone number is 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.